Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A butterfly can never be a caterpillar ever again, even if it wanted to be, which I can't imagine why it would want to. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. We got a positive report for our brother, Mike Oltig. He's not in as critical condition as he was. He's stable. They found that he doesn't have he has a bruise on his aorta, I believe, but it's not a aneurysm. They are going to still have to do surgery on that, but they've been able to get the tube out of his chest, and a number of other things are stabilizing. They thought his shoulder was broken, but it was clavicle, which, you know, I mean, it's a big deal, right? But and some other bones that are broken, but the brain bleed is stopped, and so we just continue to keep him in prayer for looking for a complete recovery. And I also want to thank the Lord for my healing and appreciate your prayers. And I'd like to welcome my sister-in-law Martha here tonight. God bless you. Nice to have you with us. We'll read from Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, starting at the 19th verse and through the 22nd. Jeremiah 18, or 8, verse 19. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Good question, don't you think? I want to title the thought here tonight, Inoculation by the Word. And we'd like to be remembered in prayer. Father, as we bow our heads for this midweek service, Lord, we're so thankful to have this opportunity to come together. And nobody's stopping us, Lord. Nobody's telling us what we can say or do or what we can't do. We have complete liberty, and we appreciate that, Lord. We don't believe it's an accident. We know that there was a price to be paid for this freedom that we have, and we want to take advantage of it, Lord, to worship you according to the dictates of our heart, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we pray that you would minister to each and every need here tonight, Lord, those that were not able to make it because of sickness or traveling. Lord, we ask that you would be with them as well. And Father, we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith. And we know that there is balm in Gilead tonight. We're looking to you, Lord. We are looking to you first and foremost. You are our everything. And Lord, you do everything well. Father, it's a privilege to come to sit before the King, to dine with the King. Father, we're looking for the portion that we have need of here tonight. And we know that before the foundation of the world, you knew exactly what it was that we would have need of. And so we're here to partake. We surrender from the pulpit to the back door, and we invite you, Lord, to walk the aisles tonight, Lord, to move in and out of every room in our three-room house, as it were. And Father, bless each and every one, we pray. And Father, we surely give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So we know that God he's had a balm for health and for the welfare of his people. And we know that there was healing available even under the Old Testament covenant. It's not just a New Testament idea. And we find several accounts throughout the Bible where God healed different ones from various sicknesses at various times. And we find a time when the Israelites were on their way to the Promised Land, as we looked at a a week or so ago, and the people began to complain about the circumstances of the Exodus. They're on their way to the Promised Land, but they're facing obstacles, or they're facing circumstances, as we are in life on our journey to an Exodus. They began to complain, they began to murmur, they began speaking against God and speaking against Moses and against the ministry. And we saw that the Lord allowed fiery serpents to come among the people to bite them, and we know that many of them died. And because of this, the people repented and they came to Moses and they told him, "We know that we have sinned by speaking against God and speaking against you and Aaron and others, and so pray for us that the Lord would take away these fiery serpents." Moses prayed, and the Lord told Moses to make a serpent out of brass and a brass pole and put that serpent on that pole. And then he said, "Tell the people, if you are bitten by a serpent, look to this brass serpent on a pole and live." God didn't take away the serpents. Friends, God's not taking away sickness. God's not taking away sin. He's not changing the circumstances, the things that we face, the things that come against us. But it does provide a cure for the snake bite. And he provided that cure before the bite ever took place. So it's God's desire, we know, that we would prosper in health even as our soul prospers. But we know that sin has not been taken away. And we know that sickness and sorrows and trials and tribulations and temptations are on every hand, and they will be until we leave this dimension. But instead, a cure for the effects of these things has been provided. But we have to apply the cure to our lives if we want to reap the benefits of the cure. As Brother Branham would put it, what good is medicine if you leave it in the medicine cabinet? You may have a cure for some certain disease, but if you don't take the cure, what good is it? So we read in the book of 2 Kings about a man named Ahaziah, and he was the son of Ahab, and he was the next king to rule after Ahab. And one day Ahaziah, he fell from the first floor ceiling lattice from the second floor where his bed was at. And as a result of the fall, he became very ill and was bedridden, and he wasn't recovering from it. He wasn't getting any better. And so he sent messengers, and he said unto them, "Go and inquire unto Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease or not." And the angel of the Lord met Elijah and told Elijah to go and intercept these messengers before they made it over to Ekron. And the angel said, "Say unto them, is it not because there's no God in Israel that you're going to inquire of the God of Ekron? Tell Ahaziah that because he has done this, he will not recover. He will surely die." So the messengers went no further, but instead they returned back home. And the king asked them, "What are you guys doing back here so soon? There's no way that you could have went there and back in this amount of time." And they tell him, "We met a man along the way." And they gave the king the message that they received from him. And then the king asked for a description of this man. And the king then sends a captain with 50 men to go tell Elijah to come to the king at once. And we can only guess that these men did not approach Elijah humbly, but they were rather demanding, and they came back. They demanded that he come back with them to speak to the king. And so Elijah doesn't appreciate their approach, and he calls fire down from heaven. And all that's left after the fire falls is 51 brass helmets. There's no other. There's no hide nor hair of these other soldiers that are left. And so they wait for a season, and these men don't return. And so 50 more and a captain are sent. And then the same results take place. And, as we've mentioned before, Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is to do things the same way and expect a different result. So why, you know, they haven't learned. Now there's a 102 charred helmets. So a third band of 50 and a captain, they come, and this time they approach him humbly and they live. And so Elijah comes to the king and delivers the prophecy, and it happens just as the Lord had spoken. Now, the problem wasn't that the God of Israel was not with Israel any more than the God of heaven is not with his church. The problem was that the king was proud, and the king would not submit to the word and would not submit to God's anointed, and he wasn't going to take the prescription of the word, and so he didn't go to the word. Instead, he ran to inquire of the God of Ekron. And I'm afraid, friends, that this happens all too often in the ranks of Christianity today. He is the Lord that heals all of our diseases. There is only one healer, and the Lord is our healer. But many people will not submit themselves to the word. And so they run off looking for cures elsewhere. But God wants to be our God all the time, under every circumstance and in every situation. He wants to be our portion. He wants to be our help in our time of trouble. He wants to be our comfort, our strength, our friend, our guide. He wants to be all of it. He is our physician. And he has a cure for whatever it is that ails us. And the church says, but the cure cannot help us, friends, if we fail to apply the balm that he has provided. So the cause of all sickness and all suffering is sin. And sin began to rule and to reign on the earth as man stepped away from God's great protection from sin, which is God's word. God provided man with an inoculation from sin. And that inoculation from sin is his word. There's nothing better. There's nothing more improved. It was his word. It is his word. It always will be his word. And his word is spirit, and his word is truth. It's not just a letter. A letter by itself will kill, but the spirit will bring life. So the living word is seed, and the living word also is the water that quickens that seed. So when a man turns down the word, as he did in the garden in the beginning, and took the lie of the devil in place of the word, well, then sin's sickness set in for the entire human race and for the entire domain of man. Everything under him fell into sin's sickness. And as a result of the serpent's role in this, the serpent was told that he would eat dust or flesh from that time on. And we are told that the Lord would put enmity between the serpent's seed and the woman's seed, and that the seed of the serpent, he would give this woman another seed, speaking of Christ, and the seed of the serpent would bruise his heel, but the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent, and the church says. So the seed of the woman that was promised would take the sin of mankind upon himself, and then he would be lifted up upon a tree, which this brazen serpent on a pole was a prefigure of, a type of, and he would endure the fiery judgment of God. And in the process, he would become the cure for sin sickness. Now, friends, why do we want to pay this price? Why do we even want to attempt to pay this price? And why do we want to sell short the fact that the price was paid for all things? He would take that venom of the serpent into himself, and he would create within himself the anti-venom to the venom by swallowing up death with death, as Paul said. So in order for this royal seed to become the cure for sin sickness for all of mankind, he had to first be inoculated from unbelief or sin himself. And that inoculation took place when the Spirit descended and filled him without measure at the banks of the Jordan River one day, And we saw that afterwards, he was tempted in every way, but the inoculation of the Spirit held. He was tempted in all ways, and yet he did not sin. He defied and defeated every attack of the devil by using the living word. It is written, it is written, it is written. Under every circumstance known to man. The scripture says he was tempted in all ways. There's no temptation that you're going through that he can't succor you or comfort you or move on your behalf, because he knows what it's like. He became one like us so that he could be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. And then he absorbed the poison of death injected in his heel at Calvary, and the inoculation held. Death could not rule. Death could not reign over him. Death did not take away his life. He laid down his life. The inoculation held, and he picked it back up. This was no mere mortal being, friends, but this was the God-man. This was the first of the new race. This was the one that now had the cure. He had the cure for sin, the cure for death. And he had it. He's carrying this medicine chest around in himself. He is the cure. Is there no balm in Gilead? I say, yes, there is tonight, friends. And when we receive that very same inoculation, not a different one, but that very same inoculation in us that was proven to overcome all things in him, we become the same kind of an overcomer as he is. Now, what do we mean by inoculation? Thank you for asking. Man has battled against many strains of sickness and disease since the fall of man. In more recent times, we've struggled with a virus called smallpox or variola virus. And up until about the 1700s or so, the virus would come into a city, and 15 to 20% of all who had never been exposed to it before, they would die. And it would come through about every 10 years. So you can imagine, about every 10 years, there's another generation that's risen up. And there's evidence that a treatment was being used over 1,000 years ago in China, and then again in later times prior to the 1700s amongst the Ottomans and in parts of Africa. In fact, a Cotton Mather, who was a lay doctor and also a congregational minister back in the late 1600s in Boston, he, in his research, he found out that they were using a certain cure in Africa, and so he was one of the first to put it in place here in America, and had to withstand being called a quack and all kinds of things, as you can imagine. So the treatment involved taking a live batch of the virus from somebody who was infected and was living, and then making a cut in the skin and putting this live virus into the cut. And of course, probably about everybody in this room, if you were born here in America in the last, since, you know, 1950s or 60s or whatever, you probably got a little scar on your shoulder here, where they took a little needle and went like this and put that virus in your shoulder, right? Anybody got the mark of the beast? Yeah. And most people would, the way that the infection spread normally, they would be normally infected by the virus by breathing in an airborne virus. And then the airborne virus coming into the body, it would quickly spread throughout the body. And then the body would have to fight it everywhere all at once, and it would normally be overwhelmed. And so they found that if a batch of the virus were to be wiped on a small cut, then the virus would, the attack would remain local to that small area, and then the body would battle with a few generations of that virus and while building up an immunity to it. And those that were infected this way, they would survive at a much higher rate than those that were infected naturally. So 2 out of 100 would die instead of 1 out of 6. So it was in 1796 that a British scientist named Edward Jenner, a Christian man, he came up with an inoculation that would see widespread use. And of the two types of smallpox, major and minor, the minor was mild and resulted in 1% to 2% deaths by those getting it naturally. And this strain was what was used to inoculate the masses and to turn smallpox around like never before. It's almost unheard of now, right? Another technique that was being used was to use a cowpox virus that infected cows. This virus would be injected into the skin, and it would cause an immunity to develop for it, and also for other pox viruses. And it was the work of Edward Jenner that resulted in the term inoculation, and vaccination being used for the first time, and from that time on for the treatment in this form for smallpox. So inoculate comes from the Latin word oculate or ocular, having to do with the eye, and the word in, I-N. So what it meant was to insert a bud from one plant into another. You still with me? You didn't know you're going to get a biology lesson here tonight, right? And often the bud would be referred to as an eye, as in a, you know, your an eyeball, or a shoot, like a shoot of a potato. So an eye is a cutting, right, Brother Merritt? And it's interesting to note where this term is used in the New Testament. Romans chapter 11, verse 23, when Paul is talking about the wild olive branch, the olive tree and the natural branch, the wild branch that grows in it to the natural branch, and then it being cut off and the Gentiles being grafted into this olive tree. Verse 23, he says, "And they also, if they abode not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." So Israel will not be lost. God will graft them in after he's through dealing with the Gentiles. "For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" And that word graft in the Greek is enkintrizo, and it means to cut into for the sake of inserting a scion, and it means to inoculate, to engraft, to graft in. So we've got a duality there, to cut into for the sake of inserting a scion, and to inoculate. So a scion is a bud or a shoot or a cutting. And Paul tells us that we were inoculated into the olive tree. We were grafted or grafted into the root. And we then become a branch, which the very same life flows through that produces the fruit. And in that life is the inoculation. So for many years, the inoculation method for places that were far from cities and distant lands, the process was to take several young orphans and infect one with an inoculation. And if the journey was, say, overseas or over a great land distance, well, then the next one would be inoculated by the first after the sores broke out. And this is how they kept the virus alive. They didn't have it in a petri dish or some kind of a test tube or whatever. They had it in orphans. This is how they kept it, the virus alive, until they could reach a large population that they were wanting to inoculate. Now, I assure you, there's a point to this, so please stay with me. So the inoculation was passed from one living being to another, shoulder to shoulder. And that's how our inoculation is passed on. That's why it is so important to be part of a body. On the day of Pentecost, the serum was passed on to 120 that were here on the earth. Passed to them from on high. And then from them, that very same day, 3,000 souls. It was passed on to others. Sheep beget sheep, and the serum is passed on. They were told, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you are inoculated from on high. So this balm of Gilead that will cure sin sickness and cure the effects of sin was injected on the day of Pentecost. And it isn't just for them, but the promises to you, to your children, to your children's children, to them that are afar off, as even as many as our Lord God shall call. So in the Old Testament, the inoculation was taken from the veins of animals, but the animal sacrifice, if you will. But that didn't produce a complete cure. That just covered sin, but it didn't take away sin. It held the sickness at bay until a greater blood sacrifice could come, until the blood of the Lamb could be shed. This inoculation that you and I receive under a New Testament covenant, it wasn't produced in an animal, but it was produced in Emmanuel's veins. Oh, friends, I'm sorry. What love. Look at the extent that your Creator went to save you and to deliver you. He didn't just want to save you. He wanted to heal you. He wanted to deliver you. He wants you to be in health, even as your soul is in health tonight. So we receive that inoculation when we humble ourselves and we repent and we are born again of the inoculation. And then we feed that inoculation the word, and then that inoculation will start to produce antibodies that we need to battle against sin. Spiritual food in due season, inoculated to face your enemy. Friends, we want to come together. The purpose of us coming together is we're going to face a battle tomorrow. I want to be inoculated today for my battle tomorrow. Now, God will patch me up, and I'm thankful for that, but I would rather He go before me than to have Him, than to always be looking to drag Him behind me to fix this and fix that. He knows the way. He knows what I'm going to face. He knows what it'll take to inoculate me. He knows what Satan is going to put in my path. He knows what sickness is going to come my way. Nothing's out of control. He's not worried. He's got it all under control. But we need to trust Him. And we need to come together for the inoculation. And the church says, in the Message Communion, there was a certain minister said today, I heard him, he said that on the broadcast, he said, when he come into the country, he had a great sinus trouble. And they were talking of an operation. And they said that they was going to do this and that and cut on him and operate and take a part of the sinus glands out, which would sink his face in and so forth like that. And he said he'd taken pills by the barrel. Looked like there were so many pills that he had to take. But when he come to a good Christian doctor, the doctor said, well, let's forget about the pills. Let's forget the operation. Let's build up the body so that it can resist sinusitis. He says, that's it. What's the matter that people don't live as long as they used to? We have to take a shot for this and a shot for that and spraying ourselves over with all kinds of medicine. What does it do? It gets us soft and fat and flabby and no good. I didn't say that. He did, okay? When the man of long ago, why, we're allergic to everything. Do you ever think about that? Now they're getting allergies and everything else. And I've stood in Africa, couldn't take a shot for malaria, but a malaria mosquito would light on my hand and I'd have malaria. They don't buzz and you don't know hardly. They light and they just light on and that's it. You had it. If you live, you'll have it for 15 years and then sometimes you die with it. And there was those natives in their little huts with mosquitoes all over their legs, them naked, mosquitoes sticking on them, malaria mosquitoes, and it didn't bother them. Why? They had built up an immunity. They had a God-given inoculation. And that's what's the matter today with the people. That's what's the matter with the church. We got so many baby shots and man-made theology and we're sprayed over. What we need is God's inoculation by the word of the Lord God. Man shall live daily by that kind of food to build his soul into an inoculation from spiritual diseases that's flowing and jumping around the country. There's a cure, friends. There's a balm in Gilead tonight. Now build it up. Get ready for the inoculation. Now we live by this. Our bodies must have this. And if we don't, then we are subject to all kinds of diseases. And the word of God, as we believe it and accept it by communion, Lord, thy word is truth. My church says you don't have to be born again. Well, they say shaking hands is born again. They say sprinkling. They say all these other things. That it's Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But the Bible said to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, now you go ahead with those artificial shots if you want to. You'll make yourself an artificial Christian. See, you don't want that. He says you can't have life only through Christ. And now, what does his word do? It builds up our spiritual body strong as we commune with him. Friends, your spiritual body is growing. As we commune with him to resist the devil. You say, Brother Branham, what's that? Communing in his word? Yes, he is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we are to eat his body, meaning the word. Then his body is his word because he is the word. And he said in St. John 15, if you abide in me, and my word and my communion, my word abides in you, well, then you can ask what you will and it'll be done for you. How many knows that's true? Amen. There you are. That's true. See, ask what you will. What do? You're building up your body to inoculation. Somebody comes in and says, oh, our church don't believe in shouting. See, you're built up. What? You got communion in you, the word, and you're inoculated from it. If a bunch of nonsense comes in, what is it? It has no word in it. Then you're sure it's wrong. I don't care how real it looks. If it's not the word, leave it alone. Right? Leave it alone. I don't care what it does. It must compare with the word. So the word is our inoculation. Oh, they're saying this and they're saying that. All of that is to force you to get into that word and get inoculated. There's an inoculation to every bit of unbelief. Sin is unbelief. Anything that anybody comes at you with, there's an inoculation from God's word. So when we come together to church, friends, and hear the preaching of the gospel, we are being inoculated against things that we are going to face in coming days. Just as, you know, flu season's coming up. You haven't had it yet. Would you like to get the vaccination for it? You know, they say that every year, right? They don't give it to you after you already had it. They give it to you ahead of time. So what are we doing? We're coming together for the inoculation before we face these things. We're built up in the word before we face unbelief. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So when people stay home and decide that they don't need the inoculation, well, guess what? They end up with prayer requests for the infections that they get, spiritually speaking, or physically. We are attacked by the enemy, friends. But there is a vaccine. There is an inoculation that will protect us and build up our immunity. So we also inoculate the body of Christ by the body, when we take these live unbeliefs and expose them to the body. Amen? And then take that word and let that word tear it up. The weakened form, or this unbelief, it infects a small place, and then the body builds an immunity to this unbelief. It starts out with, oh, did you hear that? And they're saying this and they're saying that. The next thing you know, we've got a word to stand on. We've got scripture to stand on. And we're not shook We're inoculated. Friends, if that didn't come our way, we wouldn't have the inoculation. It's part of our growth. It's part of God's predestinated plan. And that's why these things must be. You know, when it's happening to you, it doesn't make sense. When it's happening to you, it seems like it shouldn't be happening to you. Right? But everything that happens is for a reason. It's for a purpose. And the enemy will bring viruses into the church, spiritually, and try to spread it from one to another. But what it does is it ends up building immunity to those that stay with the word. They become immune to that. That, you know, two lords doctrine won't bother them, or whatever the tangent might be. They're inoculated now. But where do they get inoculated? By the word. So what it does is it ends up building immunity in those that stay with the word. Those that don't stay with the word, they perish. But those that stay with the word, they become immune to the attack of unbelief. Friends, think about it. Think of some of the things that you've been through, some of the tests that you faced that about knocked you over in days gone by. And you look back and think, man, I wish that was my problem today. Right? Because I'm immune to that. You know, there was a time it used to kill me for somebody to listen to something that wasn't true and believe that about me. That just about killed me. Well, I'm not saying I like it, but it's not going to move me anymore. It doesn't shake me. It doesn't even get me out of bed. Why? Because I'm inoculated to that now. So I had to face that, and then I had to feed on the word that inoculated me to that. So those that don't stay with the word, they perish. But those that stay with the word become immune to the attack of unbelief. The church is not our inoculation. But the church is where we go to get our inoculation from on high. This is where the vials are passed out. This is where the injections are made. The church is the female, right? And the word is the male. And the babes, they draw strength from the body by drawing, as Paul said, on the sincere milk of the word. And those that are raised on the milk of the word, guess what? They are much more resistant to the attacks of the enemy than those that are bottle-fed, man-made or animal-made milk, or man-made ideas or doctrines or dogmas. Are you with me? There is so much evidence out there, friends, about the benefits of, in the natural, of breastfeeding versus bottle feeding our babies. You can't improve on what God puts. His ways are right. And we're just scratching the surface of understanding just the miracle of all the things that he puts into place that we don't even realize the long-term benefits of some of these things. So just to name a few, speaking about in the natural, breastfeeding, a mother breastfeeding her baby. The mother's milk contains something called IgA in the colostrum, and it provides a protective layer on the baby's mucous membranes, nose, throat, and intestines. And as a consequence of this IgA and other antibodies that are passed from the mother, breastfed babies, they suffer much less, significantly less asthma, ear, chest infections. I was bottle fed. I had asthma, chest infections, SIDS, or sudden infant death syndrome. It is proven that is all but non-existent among infants that are fed from their mother versus bottle fed. Why is that? I don't know, but the data shows it. And the data doesn't lie. Later in life, they have less occurrences of diabetes than those that are bottle fed, high cholesterol, obesity. How about this? Inflamed bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, cancers. They have stronger bones. This is all fact. Science is just collecting the data, studying it out. But what is critical is the immunity that's caused by the inoculation through the mother's milk for the very first 6 months of the baby's life. The baby is getting the benefit of mom's antibodies. Oh, it's powerful, friends. And this doesn't include the benefits to the church, to the mother of breastfeeding. She benefits as well. It causes her to relax. It nurtures her. There are things that are released, oxytocin, prolactin. It helps her to lose weight after having the baby. Her uterus tightens, her moods. All of these things that mothers battle with that don't breastfeed. Come on, friends. Bonding. A bond between the baby and the mother. So the babes in the body are immunized through the passing on of antibodies, living word, from the battles that were waged and won by the church. I'm mixing my types there, but in the spiritual realm, there are battles that have been fought here in the church. And those antibodies are passed on through the body to the babes that would learn that are coming up in the church. They don't have to go through those very same things and get bowled over. They are immunized by these antibodies that are passed through the body of the church. Now, don't misunderstand, friends. Church joining will not inoculate you from the assault of sin. It is Christ that inoculates you. But he works through a body. And the living word comes to us through living vessels. And when we hear the living word preached and the living word lived, we are inoculated from unbelief, the unbelief that will attack us. Oh, it will. There's not a person in this building that isn't facing unbelief on a daily basis. You're being assaulted with unbelief. So the living word that became our sacrifice is also our inoculation here tonight. Are you with me? And just as with natural inoculations, friends, we can use a booster shot every now and then to build up our immunity. So there's no way you can bring a complete balance in any one sermon, and we're not trying to. But suffice it to say, and you know us well enough, we believe in cures that are discovered, and we thank the Lord for them. But our ultimate cure is the inoculation of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Yeah, there was a big baby formula shortage, right? And it turns out there's one place that made it. It's kind of amazing, right, that we can have these single point source that if that fails, then everything else fails, you know. And it just, I understand the need for it in a lot of different instances. I'm not speaking against that. But think about it. If more mothers would have been breastfeeding, would it have been as big a problem? Well, we report, you decide. Brother Bram said, I thank God for every serum that they got, for the Salk vaccine, Jonas Salk, praying constantly that God will give us something for cancer, for poor, suffering people. Anything can do to help. I'm for it. Yes, sir. I'm 100% for it. And if we Christian people would pray more for such things as that, we'd be better off. The whole country would. Yes, great men, they give their lives just to trying to fight back all those things that cripple children and everything, certainly. I certainly thank God for everything that he's done for us. I thank God for an automobile. There will be no automobiles in the millennium, right? And there are more people that have died in automobile accidents than in all the wars combined that we have fought in. But so you say, well, it's a bad thing. Well, it sure beats walking. Right? I thank God for the automobile too. But it's not God's perfect thought on matter, right? On that day, we'll travel like a thought. Jesus wasn't riding a broom or on some kind of a scooter. He just went right through those walls. Hallelujah. I certainly thank God for everything that He's done for us. I thank God for an automobile. I thank God for soap to wash my hands with. Right? And all the mechanics and all those things. I thank God for them. Certainly. There's one time that we didn't have soap, you know. There's one time we didn't have an automobile. If I wanted to walk over to Phoenix, I could take off, but I thank God for an automobile. I get in and trust Him and right down the road as far as I can go, see? So we thank the Lord for those things. All things that's good to help us comes from God, certainly. So I'm introducing this because it's important to keep our balance, right? You got people way over here, well, bless God, I'll never do that. You know, okay, we'll see you when they saw off your other leg because you won't take a diabetic medicine because you're believing. You won't take insulin, right? Well, do I have to take insulin? No. If God heals you, you don't need to take insulin. But if He hasn't healed you, take the insulin. Not me, bless God, I'm a believer. Well, then take those glasses off. Because the same God that could heal you of your blood disorder, He could heal your eyes, right? While you're at it, quit eating. Why do you need to eat? God will just supernaturally keep you alive. Not head. We need to keep our balance. We look to God first and foremost. But we realize, you know, there are different levels to our faith and there are different things that are provided. We'll take it. We still do prayer lines, right? God's perfect idea on the matter is you believe and you receive, right? But aren't you thankful that we have all these other avenues and challenges if our faith isn't up to that level? And it isn't always up to that level. And it doesn't start out at that level. It's got to build and grow. So it's important to keep our balance. But having said that, I want my inoculation from on high, and I want to believe for it first and foremost. I want my first thought when I get a headache, come on, church, help me out here tonight. I'll quit preaching sooner if you'll help me out. If you stare at me, we'll be here for a while. If I get a headache, I don't want to have to say, oh, is that an Excedrin headache or is this a Midol headache or ibuprofen or Advil or acetaminophen or aspirin. I want my first thought to be, Lord, you're my healer. You're my strength. Amen? I want that to be my first thought. I got a pain. Lord, you know what that is. I don't even know what body part's in there, but you know. I want that to be my first thought. Now, if I have to go to a surgeon or if I have to do this or that, nothing wrong with that, friends. But I don't want him to be my last resort. I don't want to say, well, I've tried this and I've tried that and I've tried that. Okay, well, let's try the Lord. I'm dying. Let's try the Lord. I want him to be my first thought. Don't you? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I believe we're marching up that path right now. And the way that that comes is through hearing the living word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Again, the message why in Beaumont, Texas. You know, usually when you take a serum every once in a while, you're inoculated, but you have to get a booster. And what this city needs in the Pentecostal church today is a booster. Hallelujah. Don't boost it on saying, well, we'll make a few more organizations. Well, that'll ruin your prescription. Go right back and take a booster of the very same thing that comes in the first place. The same baptism by the same experience and the same Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Glory forever and ever. Glory and power in the resurrection of Christ. Then he said, well, the things that I do shall you do also, because you've been inoculated. Amen. Inoculated with resurrection power. That's an inoculation. Did you know that? It came from him. It came from on high. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It came out of that very same one that took his stripes upon him, that took all sin upon him, that took all sickness upon him. That's where the inoculation originated from, friends. He said, the things that I do shall you do also, because you've been inoculated. Amen. Inoculated with resurrection power. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Amen. I know that you think I'm noisy, but my, it's just the way I guess you get noisy too. Inoculated, branded. So glad I know where I belong in the house of God. Aren't you glad, Christians? Oh, he's here. Oh, beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's here tonight, friends. Let's bow our heads and worship him, he says. And then after he proved the serum of God would cure from sin and keep you in the hour of temptation, it would not only do that, but it would work miracles through the power of God through this balm that was in Gilead. Not only that, but after you're dead and you're laid in the grave, it'll raise you up. You believe that? It'll raise you up. Are you coming up? Yeah, I've been inoculated. Yeah, I got my vax. All you anti-vaxxers, I got my vax. It'll raise you up. The serum held out. It's the balm of Gilead, the balm of heaven that God gave to his son to inoculate him, to bring the proof. Notice this, not a guinea pig for a medicine, but a son from heaven, proving what he was. And he took it and was anointed with the Spirit, and God was in him performing miracles and signs. Then he killed his human life on Calvary. He died. He went into the grave, laid there 3 days and nights. But on the third day, he broke the bands and rose again. For he said, this inoculation, this balm will rise me up again at the last days. It'll raise me up after 3 days. Again, he says, if the eternal life brought them signs in that day to those that had it, the same eternal life will do the same thing today. Do we believe that? If there's still a balm in Gilead, or is there? Has those days passed? How many believe that those days have passed? Have those days passed? Have those days passed? Whatever you have need of tonight, it's here. He would withhold no good thing from you. It's the devil trying to keep us from going to God's medicine chest. Are they gone? Did God run out of inoculation for his church? Did he do it? Friends, there are some churches, big churches, that believe the inoculation comes a different way since the book came open. Maybe it did for you, but the way it happened on the day of Pentecost, it's still the same inoculation. It won't come any other way. It won't come from a handshake. It won't come from saying, God sent a prophet. It won't come from you saying, I believe the word. No, it'll come from on high. It'll inoculate you. It'll put the same spirit that was in him in you. And the same spirit that was in him will raise you from the grave. It'll produce the same signs, the same wonders. It'll produce the same life. It'll cure your sickness, your sin sorrows. It'll cure your down in the dumps. It's your anti-depression medicine. It'll keep your mind from flying off the handle. It'll settle your nerves. We don't need some new tonic, friends. He's the tonic. Amen. We'll do, if we've got to do the lesser things that have been provided until our faith can get a hold of that, well, then so be it. But we want our faith to get a hold of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Did God run out of the inoculation for his church? Did he do it? If he did, woe unto the church. But on the day of Pentecost, while they were shouting and praising God. While they were shouting and praising God. Oh, well, you're just so worked up and it's just all a work up. How about this one? I like to know what it is that I'm shouting about. Well, listen, meathead. I do know. That's why I'm shouting. Where do you think that's coming from? Wasn't that you over at the Wildcat game there the other day, shouting your head off? And now you want to grind on me for shouting in church? Let God take cigarettes out of your mouth. Let Him take filthy language out of your mouth. Let Him turn you around. Let Him justify you, sanctify you, fill you with His life, make you a witness. Take away your night fears. Take away your doubts. Take away your nervousness. Give you a peace that passes all understanding. Give you power to overcome. Yeah, I understand why you're shaking your head and saying, well, yeah, that's pretty good. You've never been inoculated. You get inoculated, there'll be a stimulation that comes with that. Friends, when you go to the natural doctor, you know when you've been inoculated. You're not, well, did you do it already? You know when they give you that little jab. That little jab tells you, I got inoculated. And if you didn't feel that jab, you'd be wondering, well, did I get the cure? Do I need to worry? Am I going to have the antibodies? That little jolt tells you, you got it. Come on, friends. Somebody say, praise the Lord. What is joy unspeakable? That's intellectual. Come on, friends. But on the day of Pentecost, while they were shouting and praising God, the question came up. They took notice. They thought that they were drunk. Here it was, it wasn't even the third hour. It's still, you know, morning time, around noon, somewhere around there. And they're noticing these men are acting like they're drunk. They said, well, you know, we are drunk, but not as you suppose. On the day of Pentecost, while they were shouting and praising God, the question come up, men and brethren, what can we do to become inoculated? Look, I didn't make that up. It's right there. Oscar, Mark, read it. First paragraph, last verse. This isn't an eye test. Starts with men and brethren. Can't see it? There you go. I didn't hear you. Inoculated. That's a good question, right? Men and brethren, what can we do to become inoculated? Tarry ye until you are endued from power with power from on high. What was that power? Inoculation. You cannot overcome without that inoculation. It's the inoculation that's going to keep you. And Dr. Simon Peter wrote out a prescription. Well, I thought he couldn't write his own name. He wrote out a prescription. And he said, the prescription's going to be good for you. And for your children. And for every generation. It'll be the same prescription. It'll work what it's doing right now. It'll work again and again and again and again and again. As many as our Lord God shall call can use this prescription. It'll never fail. It'll have the same results. It'll do the same thing to a guy in a tuxedo as it'll do for a guy that's in overalls. It'll do the same thing for an Oxford educated man as it'll do for a man in the field that can't cite his own name. It'll do the same thing for a Republican as a Democrat. It'll do the same thing for an African or an American or a Chinese or Indian or New Zealand or Eskimo. It'll do the same. It's not a respecter of persons. Friends, do you realize, looking at the DNA, you can take DNA from all of the cells, most of the cells of my body, and you can find out information on me, but you won't find my DNA in my blood. Did you know that? My DNA is not in my blood. And we all have blood. Amen? So the blood that comes from Him,
does not make you different. It's the same blood. And what that blood did in him, it'll do the same thing in you and in you and in you and in you. There's no individuality in it. The same power. Oh, hallelujah. The same promises. The same deliverance. The same encouragement. It's not just for some people to be happy. But you've got to make up your mind. I'm going to take what this inoculation has provided for me. The inoculation promised me that I could be happy. So I refuse this other thing. The inoculation will hold. Resist the devil. He'll flee. Come on, friends. It's not just for some of us to come to church. It's not just for some of us to overcome. It's not just for some of us to be healthy. It's not just for some of us to be happy. It's not just for some of us to have peace and joy and rest and confidence. It's the same inoculation. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Repent, every one of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall be inoculated. You're getting it now. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is God's inoculation. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to them that's afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. Is he still calling tonight, friends? I'm proof of that. One more. Balm of Gilead. He said, then he told his disciples, I want you to be inoculated with it. And I'm sending you forth with a gift to go into all the world, notice this, and inoculate everyone that will believe. With what? Pamphlets? Dogmas? Church joining? Excuse me, tapes? The inoculation is not on the tape. Oh, I know that's blasphemy in a lot of places. But there's nowhere in the scriptures where it says, go ye into all the world and hand out tapes. And while we're at it, the internet is not your pastor. Just take your mouse and place it on your head and repeat after me. You've taken the body out of the picture. God works through flesh. It's living word coming through a living body. This one gets inoculated, and then that one gets inoculated, then that one gets inoculated, and it's shoulder-to-shoulder contact. Hallelujah. We draw strength from the body. Blessed be his wonderful name. I'm sending you forth with a gift to all the world and inoculate everyone that will believe. Which means everyone won't believe. But inoculate everyone that will believe. There's a balm in Gilead. 120 climbed into an upper room, closed the doors, barred the windows. They stayed there for 10 days waiting for it to happen. While they were in one place in one accord, all of a sudden there came a sound from heaven like a rushing mighty wind. It was God's balm coming down. And when it struck them in the room, cloven tongues set upon them like it was fire. Out in the streets they went. They had the results. They showed that they had been inoculated. They showed that something had happened. All fear, listen to this now, friends, all fear and things they had vanished away as soon as they got the injection of God's toxin of the Holy Ghost that was poured out upon them. It made them slobber. Listen to these classy theological seminary words. What'd you do tonight? Well, I went to church. Well, what'd you do there? Well, I slobbered. And then I bawled. Then I squalled. Then I ran around like a chicken with his head cut off. Ooh. Well, what did you do? Well, I went to the football game. I squalled and I bawled and I ran around like I shaved my head and ran around like a chicken with my head cut off. Well, why isn't that weird? Why is that? It's a perversion of what God has for you. They all get together. They got cheerleaders. Yeah, we do too. It's called song leaders and musicians. They got cheerleaders and they got pom-poms, right? And they start crying out, "We got spirit." Yes, we do. We got spirit. How about you? Oh, then the visiting team, oh, they're not going to be outdone. Oh, you think you got spirit? Let me show you what kind of demons, what spirits that we have. We came to back up our team, and we're going to do that. We got spirit, so they come back, and they're challenging the other side. And then there's a wave that goes through. Who's the weirdo? And they got paint and tomahawks and mohawks and whatever, dressed up like animals and got somebody's number on their shirt. Yeah, I want to wear my jersey tonight too. I wanted to say JC, Jesus Christ. He's my hero. He's my winner. He's my champion. He's the one I'm shouting for. He's the one that I'm rooting for because he's in the building tonight. And he's doing just what he said he would do. And we're winning. And the home team is losing. You say, the home team, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. But until then, I'm going to prosper in health, even as my soul prospers. I'm on my way to that city whose builder and maker is God. I'm just a passing through. But along the way, I'm going to overcome. I am not going to be overcome. This inoculation will hold, friends. It'll keep you when you lose your job. It'll keep you when you lose your house. It'll keep you when your family member dies. It'll keep you when you're down. It'll keep you while you're up. It'll keep you when the church fails. It'll keep you when the economy fails. It'll keep you when Wall Street crashes. It'll keep you when COVID comes around. It'll keep you when you're sick. It'll keep you. This inoculation is still holding tonight. 2,000 years and it's still holding. Blessed be. It's not snake oil, friends. Hallelujah. That snake oil was taken into that body and it produced an antitoxin. And we are benefactors of that tonight. He took that poison into his body and he made an antitoxin tonight, friends. And it holds. It'll work for you. How many bottles would you like? Oh, sir, over there, okay, and how about you? Yep, there's plenty. Don't worry, there's plenty. There's plenty more where that came from. Get extra oil now. There's plenty. It'll keep, it'll hold. The sky is full of the real tonight, friends. Out in the streets they went. They had the results. They showed that they'd been inoculated. They showed that something had happened. All fear and things that they had vanished away as soon as they got God's toxin of the Holy Ghost that was poured out upon them. It made them slobber, stammer, act like a bunch of drunk people. Come on, friends. Well, I don't know about that. Well, you just need to get over yourself. Get out of yourself. That's the thing about an injection. That's the thing about an inoculation, is it'll do something to you. It'll bring a change. And if it doesn't bring a change, why do it? Oh, it'll be real, friends. Act like a bunch of drunk people, but they were receiving new life. God was placing his life into that 120. They screamed. They shouted. Look, if you don't want to scream or shout, just nod real loud, okay? I realize we're all different. Some of us might cry. Some of us, we're not trying to get you to act a certain way, but leave me alone, okay? If I get happy, just leave me alone. They screamed, they shouted, they spoke in tongues. They run, they acted like drunk people because they was inoculated. They were inoculated from the styles of the world. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
It's that new wine. It's the kind that makes you smile all the time. I heard about it just a little while ago. And ever since I did, I just can't let this happy feeling go. New wine. It's the kind that makes you smile all the time. So pardon my funny grin. I'm just a new wineskin holding new wine. Now money can't buy it. Yeah, I've tried it. You'll have a lifetime supply. The Savior will give it through His Holy Spirit. And joy like a river makes you feel so fine. New wine. From moonshine, but it comes from sunshine, straight from heaven above. It won't make you lazy, or make your mind crazy, or make you cry over some long gone lost love. New one, it's the kind that makes you smile.
Amen. Come up a gear. I don't even know where we're at, but I lost the song. Ain't God good? He gives us so many blessings undeserving. That's what we are. We ought to thank Him. Love and praise. Thank you. have the Holy Ghost will set your feet to dancing? Do you have that on there? How many believes it will? The world doesn't have the corner on dancing. David danced before the Lord. Amen. I think some of us just need some dancing shoes. David danced before the Lord. He danced with all his might. His heart was filled with holy joy. His spirit was so light. Michael through the windows looked to criticize the start. She didn't know that David had got a dancing heart. Oh, the Holy Ghost will set your feet. Lord.